really loud. What is his name again?
Bernard.
Bernard, okay. Anyone else? Sorry about that. We're getting ready for the children's message, if you couldn't tell. I think Joanne, you're going to have to yell it out, Joanne. Yeah. Prayers for the people in Somalia and that region of Africa that are dealing with the famine and the countries around that are taking them in as refugees. Jill. Some of you may know and remember Carmen, who is a youth in this church, and this is Carmen's younger brother and the Rivera family that has been very active here in the past. And so our prayers are certainly with Pedro and all of the family in this time. Gladys. Dave.
This prayer is for all the families affected by the violence.
Yes. All of the Norway. Also, Shirley Jones' sister died yesterday morning. Shirley, so please keep Shirley in your prayers and all of her family down in Alabama who were dealing with that death. Shirley will be going out later this week for the funeral services. Brian. It's working. And for the camp as it continues to grieve that loss, too, and the dynamics of that. Suzanne. Now we're really.
Hello.
I was watching the Weather Channel before I came up here, and drought in the Midwest, particularly in the Texas area, is causing people to lose their cattle. So it doesn't look like they're going to get relief anytime soon, but that's going to make a big impact on all the farmers and the animals in the area. And also just prayers for me. I'm trying to make a medication change. It's not working very, it's not going very well. So just prayers for that.
Thank you. Let us pray. Creator and creating God, in majesty and glory, you come to us and call us to you. You heal the brokenhearted and bind up those who are ailing. You invite us to trust and to pray to you in all our need and as we reach out toward a hurting world. We pray for those this day in need of healing of body, mind, and spirit, for your strength, ever sufficient in weakness, for Pedro and his family, for Bill, for the Fitzgerald family with Linda, for Rhonda, for Suzanne. We pray, O Lord, for our world, for the people of Norway and all victims of terror and violence, for those in the paths of war and famine. We pray for Keith in these days, for the people of Kenya and Somalia. Make us mindful always, O God, of our world in need, and touch us to give in generosity of spirit. We pray for wisdom for governments and peoples of our world who are seeking to make difficult decisions, for those that are facing hardship of all kinds, for drought and weather. We pray this day for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, for Annie Pearl's family and Shirley as she travels, for the Walsack family. We give thanks, O God, for the comings and goings of summer. We pray for continued rest and recreation for Pastor Dave and his family in these weeks, as we give thanks for those who have come in to help and assist in ministry as we go forward in these days. We give thanks for the opportunity to connect with loved ones in visits and surprises, for Eva and worship with us again this day, for new babies, for Elijah and for Bernard. We pray your healing hand to be upon him and this new mother and father as they pray for his breathing and continue to reach for healing. Help us, O God, even in these hot summer days to reach high for you, and in all the days as we seek to walk in your ways, to follow where you alone would lead us. In the power of the one who walked with us, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All right.
Must be some children somewhere.
All right.
Can you grab a piece of this rope right here? No, just grab this part here. There you go. Can you grab that? Grab a piece of rope. I need you guys to hold on tight, okay?
Hold on tight.
All right, hold on tight. All right, you want to grab a piece of that rope? Oop, not that one. Let's see. It got all tangled up when I was running around with a microphone. There we go. Okay, there you go. Grab that. Need you to grab that. Yep. Okay, I could get caught in a big spider web here, but that's all right. Let's see. Do we have a Cub Scout here?
We do.
There's one. He probably knows something about ropes.
Here's a rope. Can you grab that rope? I need you to help me. All right, here you go.
Okay. All right. Now, I have a question. Do you think that if I were falling down a mountainside, you'd be strong enough that you could keep me from falling if you held on real tight? Do you think? Do you think you could? Let's see, how many kids are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't think so. I don't think that's enough. Not for me, anyway. So I think we need some more help, okay? So what I'm going to do is going to toss this out, and maybe we can get some help from the congregation here. And you guys can hold on, too. Here, just pass that back. See if you can get a little untangled, okay?
So, but I want you guys to hold on tight. So what am I putting on some rope for? Well, can we have the first slide? The first picture up there? Okay. So today we're talking about mountains, okay?
Does anybody know who that is up there? No, it's not George Washington. Anybody have any idea? Does anybody know what mountain that is? That's Mount Everest. That's the tallest mountain in the world. And you know who that is up there? That's a guy called Tenzing Norgay, okay? And Tenzing Norgay was this team of two people. One was Edmund Hillary, and one was Tenzing Norgay. And they were the first people to climb up the mountain. And this is a picture. It's fun. This funny thing about this picture is there's only a picture of Tenzing up there, okay? There's not a picture of Edmund up there. Does anybody know why there's no picture of Edmund? No, he was fine. He got down. It was because it was his camera, and not only was his camera, it's because Tenzing had never known how to use a camera before. Only Hillary knew how to use a camera, so he took Tenzing's picture, but they decided, out when they were on the top of the highest mountain in the world, that it was not time to learn how to use a camera. Okay, and it probably wasn't like a little iPhone. Anyway, so I want to tell you a little bit about Tenzing. The reason he didn't know how to use a camera is he came from a very poor background. He was a Tibetan, and he started climbing mountains as a coolie. Does anybody know what a coolie is? Coolie sounds good right now, but it doesn't have anything to do with being cool. Except he's pretty cool up there. So a coolie is somebody who carries a lot of loads. And it turned out when you climb Mount Everest, you don't just go up there one day and climb. Have you ever climbed a mountain? Has anybody climbed a mountain? Michael, I bet you've climbed a mountain. You've never climbed a mountain? No? Well, when you climb Mount Everest, when Tenzing climbed that with Hillary, there were 400 people involved. And there were a bunch of them were coolies, and the other people were mostly people from Europe and from Australia, New Zealand, and so forth. And so they were the so-called trekkers. But Edmund Hillary was climbing one day, and he nearly slipped and fell into a great big crevasse. And you know who saved him? It was Tenzing Norgay, because he was the one who held on to the rope that Hillary had, and he had a big ice pick, and he caught that ice pick in the snow and kept Hillary from falling into this big crevasse. So from that day on, Hillary said that he wanted Norgay to be his partner. Okay. So whenever they climbed together. And so when it became time for Hillary to climb up the mountain, and they were up atop, and somebody else couldn't make it, Hillary said, I want Tenzing Norgay to go with me. And there's something interesting. The other thing is interesting about Tenzing Norgay is what his name means. Does anybody have any idea what his name means? Well, Tenzing means fortunate, okay? And Norgay means someone who follows religion. So he was a fortunate follower of religion, okay? Now, what does this all have to do with Sunday schools? Well, you know, there's lots of things that mountains do for us, and one of the things that mountains do for us that is help us think about how we work together as a team. And that's why I wanted you all to hold this rope, because I wanted to remind you that as part of a church service, when we do something big and strong or scary, like climbing a mountain, that it's really good to be all tied together and helping each other, helping out. And I wanted to show the next slide, and you'll see how it looked. These are all the people, they are all climbing up that really steep mountain, and they're all roped together, just like you guys and I are all roped together. Okay? So let's say a little prayer. Dear God, help us as a church to face the mountains we climb. Mountains can be scary, they can be beautiful, but we can manage to handle them if we work together, if we're tied together, each person helping another. Amen. All right. Go back to your seats, and I can maybe get untied, or maybe not.
There is childcare for ages 3 to 6 downstairs if you would like to take advantage of that. The family room is upstairs for infants and toddlers. And otherwise, we encourage families to worship together during the summer as well.
Morning. So our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 121. The psalmist writes, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And the New Testament reading is from Revelation 21, verses 9 through 10. Let me find them here. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Our hymn of preparation this morning is I Lift My Eyes Up, which is led by the worship band this morning. And we invite you to sing along as we sing through it twice. It will be projected. Continue this week in our sermon series, this Active 8 service sermon series that we have been exploring this summer as we gather together around some of the activities that we may do in the course of the summer. Hiking and climbing mountains is at our focus this day. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about walking with God and the ways that we walk with God and the ways that God walks with us. Wherever we find ourselves. Will you pray with me? O Lord, you are our God. Help us to hear your word, to listen and to follow, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Last weekend, as I wound my way through the Berkshire and the Catskill Mountains towards the high field that I was to officiate a wedding in last weekend, I was listening to old John Denver tunes. There's probably most of you don't even know who John Denver is, I'm realizing. But I want you to know this morning that there are two kinds of people in the world. Did you know that? Two kinds of people in the world? There are water people, ocean people, and we do live in the ocean state, right? And there are mountain people. Now, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you are water people or wish you were water people this morning? Okay. How many mountain people? Oh, my goodness, we're quite evenly divided in here. Even the people from Ohio that are mountain people. Impressive, impressive. Little mountain people. Okay, little mountain people. Well, I'm a mountain person, too. This was 1990 when I climbed to the top of Mount Rainier. And this was the beginning of the beginning of the hike. See, I was even a grown-up in 1990, which is really scary to think about. Okay, thanks. Off with that picture. When you look at Scripture, you find references to mountains in many, many parts of Scripture. I never realized how many until I was trying to figure out what text to use for this service. And I think that's because geographically, in Palestine, and I'm not an expert in the geography of Palestine, there are two ridges of elevated terrain. And while the mountains aren't all that high by North American or European standards with the Alps, because they are so close to the water in so many cases, they look a lot higher than they are. Those two ridges are there. But you find references throughout all of Scripture, Old and New Testament, to the mountains and how the mountains are essential for the story of God's people in faith. We could have picked, indeed, over 200 references to mountains in Scripture for this sermon, because in and around the biblical landscape are woven these stories. Stories as the mountains as a source of revelation and promise, as a place of retreat. Think about how many times you may remember Jesus going up to a mountain to be away from the crowds, or going off with his disciples to a mountain to teach. In Scripture, mountains are also a place of challenge and danger. They're a site of Jesus' temptation as he begins his earthly ministry. They're a site of the valley of danger as we encounter the story of the Good Samaritan. But a mountain can also symbolize a climb into a new reality, leading to a new perspective on life. Moses went to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And when he came down, he had a mess he had to deal with. We also remember and may remember the dazzling vision of Jesus with the disciples on the mountain at the Transfiguration, where they saw Jesus in a new way. And their lives were never the same. We see in our psalm this morning that mountains also serve as a testimony of stability and witness to God's power and the availability of that for our lives. We are exhorted to lift our eyes to the hills from where our help will come. Look up, writes the psalmist here. And mountains, while they are solid and rocky at times, are often very changeable. Weather patterns on mountains change quite frequently, and that can happen quickly. We need to be prepared, alert, and at attention. And as Andrew said, working together, we can do that in some very powerful ways. But the scrambling hiking over rocks and boulders with minimal snow may give way quickly, even in the same hike to this, which was on the same trip. up to the top of Mount Rainier. In the mountains, you need to concentrate. Whether you're driving mountain roads, singing songs that are long, long ago, driving or walking, the footing and the terrain can vary. 8 years ago, our confirmation class made a mountain hike up Mount Washington, and an overnight camping trip was one of the centerpieces of our work together as a community, as we worked with those 8 or 9 youth. We found that kind of change of terrain happened as well. We didn't take too many pictures of the thunderstorm that we were walking over the slippery boulders of. We were rather in a hurry to get to the top, but we started in pretty good weather. On the right, you see Kwame in an earlier day. We used that image of the Mount Washington climb as a way to bind the youth together in the life of this church. We discovered some amazing things about one another in that climb. For example, the people who you think are in the best shape may not be the ones that get to the mountain the best. We also learned that climbing to the top of the mountain is not the only part of the story. There's that issue that you have to come down afterwards as well. And sometimes coming down from a mountain can be very difficult. How many times have you heard people talk about mountaintop experiences and how hard it is to come back to the world after you've had that kind of a mountaintop experience? When we climb to the top of the mountain, things look different to us than they do in the valley. A trip away to the top of the mountain can help us to re-envision our future, to remap our future, and to think about where we're headed after we come down from that mountain. And if we never stop to see things from a different perspective, we can become stuck, unable to see the path out of that reality. When I was telling Andrew that I was preaching on mountains, he told me this story about a conversation that I think he had with someone in Bangladesh. Now, Bangladesh is, if you don't know much about the country, is a very, very flat country. And most of the water that comes down from the Himalayas ends up flooding Bangladesh on a regular basis. People in Bangladesh are not able to read maps very well. And Andrew always wondered about that. Why can't we read a map? But it turns out that because they can't climb to see the landmarks, it's very difficult to make a map. So climbing mountains helps us to make those maps of our lives, to see new opportunities, to be given hope and promise, to remember that God is ever with us. As we step up and out, and in these summer months may hike to higher venues. You may remember that this was a big image for Martin Luther King Jr., who the night before he was assassinated preached his speech to the in Memphis before his assassination was titled, "I've been to the mountaintop. I've been to the mountaintop." It was a confidence that he knew that life would be different. It's the same kind of confidence that we can have as we trust in the words of the psalmist, who calls us to look up, to trust in the hills, and to have that kind of confidence to step out in faith, even when it's difficult. To work through that time of pain and the challenges and faith and willingness to face them. From Genesis to Revelation, God stands ready to reveal this kind of life to us in its fullness and to all God's people. So I hope that maybe sometime this summer you might find a mountain to climb, even if it's in your car, your air-conditioned car. to pause at the top and look down at the landscape below, to climb to the top of one of the mountains, perhaps, of your life in these days, and to try to look down below to see the fullness of what is ahead of you, and then to be refocused, reformed, and redirected, to be energized into new ways of life that are promised us as God's people. May it be so for you. Amen.
Will you please join me as we affirm our faith together using the words from Our World Belongs to God. As followers of Jesus Christ living in this world, we declare with joy and trust, our world belongs to God. We gather to praise God, listen to Him, and respond. We nurture each other in faith and obedience to Christ. We love and care for one another as God's people. We commit ourselves to serve and to tell others about Jesus. We pursue God's justice and peace in every area of life. For God is present in our world by God's word and spirit. The faithfulness of our great provider gives sense to our days and hope to our years. The future is secure, for our world belongs to God. Giving thanks to God who has so richly blessed each of us, we will now receive the tithes and offerings. Father, as you have so richly blessed each of us with gifts in our lives, We hope that as we return some small portion of these gifts, that they may do your will in our community and help those that are in need of our assistance. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you.
Whatever mountains we may face, whatever perspectives may newly come to us, may you feel God's grace, God's presence, as the psalmist writes. Let us look to the hills, and may the blessings of God, our Creator, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the reconciling power of the Holy Spirit go with us always. Amen.